Sports Ethos New York Knicks podcast, Andre Gallagher. We got a special guest today, Ari Hoops 84 at Ari Hoops 84, Gold School Retro NBA video host on YouTube. Let's get it right. How you doing today, brother?
I'm good, man. I was pretty high off this win, man. I mean, I haven't seen this type of playoff basketball intensity in a long time, man. And,
man, you know, I haven't seen it.
Fan, man. We've been suffering for a while, man. I've been a fan since 92, bro. So,
hey, I've seen a lot of heartbreak. There with you, like 88, 89 for me. Oh, my goodness, man. If it wasn't the first round, it would be up there with LJ's 4-point play.
Yes.
Well, we still in the first round, so we can't get crazy. Feeling. But Jesus, I've never seen anything like that. Never.
It's almost like anything. You.
I did the turnaround on Dante's second three. You knew that shot was going in.
I knew it, man. And then I'm like, yo, that I had a feeling that was gonna get him going, man. Because, I mean, let's face it, man. It's hard for me to say it, but like Brunson just been very off the first two games.
I mean,
he'll snap out of it. He will, but I was never one to turn my back on him.
Well, listen, he's been there for the Knicks all season long. You know, you know he was there last year in the playoffs when they needed him. I knew Philly was going to play him well in this series. I didn't know they were going to play him quite this well. And in this game, it looked like he got some of his normal looks, but just wasn't knocking them down. So they're kind of in his head now. You know, but you got to call it like you see it. He's not playing well. We're talking about, I think he's got 15. He's like 15 for like 48, 49 or something like that.
Yeah.
Two games, maybe 50.
Yeah, he's been pretty bad, man. But I seen some pretty nasty things that people were writing on him. And I was like, this is the type of stuff, man. I'm like, man, I know we could criticize him or whatever. But to sit there and just like kind of like throw away everything he's done just for two bad games and two bad games that we won. Because of the grit of this team and other guys stepping up. And you guys got to remember, too, man, a lot of players around this league, if you look at not even just this year, just the NBA in general, from when I started watching, if you go back and watch the guys in the 80s and the 70s, stars, superstars, you name them, sometimes they have off nights in the playoffs. But if your team's good, you got the other guys that can say, okay, it's me next. So I got to step up. And that's the mentality this team has. Nothing but grit, bro, and I love it.
That's what you got to love about this team, seeing everybody. Listen, let's not forget about Josh Hart's first half with
exactly.
The four threes. The pull-up three, like Curry. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
This guy was a superhero in the first half. Now, I've seen people, I just saw somebody on the timeline criticizing before the game was over, criticizing Tibbs for playing Josh Hart 48 minutes. Listen to me. And said he had no legs at the end of the game. Listen. I get it. We can't just point fingers when things ain't going the right way. You know, Tibbs has managed his team all year long. They've had nothing but injuries all year long. They were in the game. They were right there at the end. They had no answers for the Embiid, Maxi pick and roll, dribble handoff. They had no answers. Embiid's getting every call. You can't complain because he kept Josh Hart in the game the whole time. Like, come on. Like, Josh Hart, he's carrying the team half the time on both ends of the floor.
An ultimate two-way, defensively, pushing the pace. I mean, you name it. Now that three ball's looking a little bit better. Because I know you've been working with the shooting coach a lot, especially during the last few days. And they're showing in his work, man. He's putting in work in that gym, man. This is a testament to all the hard work that this team puts in, man. You got guys that if one guy's off, the next man pick him up, man. And shout out to Deuce, man. When he snatched that ball out of Maxie's hands, man. I hate to say it. You know what? I'm going to say it, man. I made it my point. I'm going to speak my mind this year more often and not hold my tongue. He was the actual real kid that we kept, that we kept and nobody wanted. And we were all wrong about it. Because I know, like, even myself, like, I was very crucial and very critical of Deuce McBride, especially last year in the playoffs, where that jump shot wasn't fluid, just unable to break down the defense. But man, that kid, man, just is indicative of what the front office valued in. And they saw something obviously that we didn't see. And it's proved, man. It's proven now because all the work he's put in, he's turned it around, man. He's made me a non-believer, a believer, man. And shout out to Deuce McBride, bro. That kid got art.
I mentioned it a few times. If you go back, and I'm only gonna bring this up briefly, when you go back to the Donovan Mitchell trade talks years ago, with all of these guys were named in that trade. I remember telling a group of NBA fans who weren't Knicks fans, I said, listen, the Knicks value these guys more than you value these guys because you don't know who these guys are. But the Knicks believe in these guys. They've molded these guys. They've showed promise. And they can't just give them away in the trade because they don't have a name to you or the next team or the next. They gotta put their foot down on some of these moves because they know how much work these guys have put in and how much work they put into them. And you see Deuce, he is a living, breathing byproduct of that faith. And we go, I know we all hate Jimmy Butler, but I heard Jimmy Butler's agent talking about how important Tibbs was to his career early on, how nobody really thought Jimmy Butler was anything, but because of Tibbs, the work ethic that he instilled in him and the work he put into him, Jimmy Butler became Jimmy Butler. Now, I'm not saying Deuce is going to be Jimmy Butler, but you can see that the coach is developing these guys way more than people are giving him credit for.
Oh, it's just true, man. I mean, he was the kid out of all the kids. He was the last one standing, man. And it was the one that we needed, man. Who would have thought?
And he's not perfect.
Obviously, man, bringing in DiVincenzo was another guy that
you're heavy on that. I was right there with you, but you circling the block on that Devo stuff because you were fighting with those cats online when
you
that
saw
Devo
me. Everybody saw
down.
That. they was going at my neck. And I'm like, yo, you guys don't watch the NBA, bro. Like,
no, they don't. No, they
the
don't.
Problem I have with some Knicks fans, Andre,
oh, man.
Is that it's okay to say I don't know about certain yeah. player and just stay out the conversation. But you got dudes that will sit there with their chest out and will tell you like,
loud.
Oh, he a bum. Oh, he is. I'm like, yo, how is he a bum? Did you watch him before he came in, or you just going up because he's not a star? Because you know, like everybody's is in love with this superstar fat kid where they forget about the role players, the Devos, the Josh Hart, the Bogeys, the shooters, you know what I'm saying? Like the backup point guards, like a Deuce McBride, which will be putting them into kind of like a little Derek Fisher role, which I like for this team.
Yeah, you called
it's development, bro. And then they know the guys that like, remember the joke with the Villanova Knicks, right? That was the joke all summer, right?
Yeah.
The nepotism, right? And shit. But now it's like, no. And I always told people, these guys, even before they started like transitioning into what we saw this year, I saw these guys like, I saw it in them because I saw who they were before they got here.
Right.
So I know that it wasn't just because they from Villanova and these are his buddies. Right. These guys actually are damn good basketball players. And you cannot just look at the box score every game to see the value of all of them because they do multiple different things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I talk about it on the show all the time. And I try not to get too preachy, but the truth of the matter is most of these guys are not watching the league. They're barely watching the Knicks. But if they're on Twitter, they're at least watching and following the Knicks. But if you go to other places, like I went and delved into the Facebook Knicks group. These guys, a lot of those guys are not even on Twitter. So they don't even follow the team. They don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
They named Jacob Toppin, and there were 10 guys who thought they were talking about Obi Toppin. This was like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, how do you not know who Jacob Toppin is in April? There's just no way, right? And listen, we're all busy. See, that's the thing in New York is that people are busy. They got to work. You know, it's expensive to live here. They can't just live and breathe their teams across the board. I get it. But you can't have these loud opinions if you're not following the team. You don't know what's going on. You don't watch the league. You have no perspective. You can't be so loud.
Yeah, man. And that's the problem, Dre, is that, you know, that's why I always say, man, I can respect. And I've had conversations with people like, oh, wow, I didn't know about so-and-so. You taught me that way before I knew about him. I respect that because that's basically telling me that that's somebody that's willing to learn. Like, I don't always say I'm a know-it-all because I've been wrong about certain shit. Everybody has. Nobody bats 1,000. But some people really can't admit when they're wrong.
No,
and that's the problem with just basketball talk in general, that, like, you can't say, oh, like, you heard me in the beginning of the show. I'm not going to say and act like I was the biggest Deuce McBride believer because I wasn't.
Right.
But I was critical of his game. I got personal at him. I never attacked his character. I never, name-called him. I literally did. When I talked about it, I talked about his basketball, his acumen, what he needs to improve on. I criticized that. And that's the thing where it separates is like when you see basketball players, on the news and stuff, when they're going after fans and stuff, it's because, I go to games and fans be saying some wild stuff to them.
Yeah.
You got to realize there's consequences to that. So people got to stop doing that. Like criticize the player. Don't criticize the person. Don't attack their families. Don't call them soft. Don't call them the B word. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I just see a lot of disrespect towards NBA players personally. And my thing is like, yo, and I always say this, and this is not just a basketball thing, this is a life thing. Like, if you're comfortable saying certain things to somebody online, don't act like, you know, if you see them in person, you're not going to say that.
Right, right.
You know,
and then
a
they
lot of
act
people
like that they
got
would
the internet
do
thing messed up. It's a
it. They
small
act
world.
like that they would do it in person. I've lived my whole life and haven't had no random person just start calling me some of the names that people call you online, right?
Yeah, bro, it gets crazy, man. That's why, like, I'm the type of person, like, I debate a lot, just mean, but, like, sometimes I'm gonna see myself way out of it,
Right, yeah, just let it go
like,
and
cause it takes away
you're not
from,
going
it
to change
throws me
any
off who I
minds.
am sometimes, like, cause I'll get out of character, and I'll start saying, listen, man, I'm the type of person, like, hey, what's up? You gotta come through,
Right, yeah,
like,
because everybody grew up in New York and it's like you cut from a certain cloth when you from New York.
yeah, man,
You
but
only
I
going to
know
take me
me, like,
so
I don't
much.
got time to get locked up, I don't know,
Right, we're too old
I
for
got
this
a lot of things going on
nonsense.
for myself, like, I want to just talk ball, man. And
Right.
if you're not talking about that, I don't want to have a conversation with you.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. And that's the right attitude to have. We too old for the nonsenses. You're not
Yeah,
even
man, I'm
playing.
39 years
Guys are
old, bro.
talking like they're playing. Like you're not playing, man. You're not playing. And those guys playing, they really don't care about you individually. Okay. So let's take it down a notch. But
Thank you.
your criticism of Deuce was just fair. Like he wasn't hitting his shots. You know what I mean? Like it's not like you were saying something that wasn't true. And when somebody wasn't doing something and then they get better and they start doing it, it's okay to say, okay, he's doing it now, but he wasn't doing it before. So
Yeah,
yeah.
and then I said, I'm wrong. I even take the bill for, even though, like, I'm wrong, but was I really wrong? Like,
No,
I
like
was
he needed to
criticizing
get
his game,
better.
and he uplifted his game. So it is what it is.
Simple as that. Simple as that. But yeah, listen, our hero, he's been a hero all year long. I was kind of upset that they kept going to Brunson down the
Yeah.
stretch because he didn't have it. And it was like, listen, can we find other ways to either get him the ball or use him as a decoy? Because we're kind of just throwing him out there, throwing him to the wolves. And even though they pulled this game out, and I don't want to belittle it, that issue remains. So what do you think the Knicks are going to do in game three to get him better looks or maybe not put so much on his shoulders down the stretch of the game? Because I think they did a good job throughout the game, you know, sustaining without him. They kept him out the game for a good long stretch. You know, he actually sat on the bench for a good long while, longer than you would have thought, and the Knicks survived. So I think they're finding other ways to score, but how long can you go back down to that Josh Hartwell? Like how long, how many times can you do that? It's not going to work out every single time. So what do you think they're going to do?
Obviously, listen, man, I always say it like this, man. Playoff basketball is playoff basketball, and you're gonna play your best guys. And I can't even, like, be mad at it, because I see what he's doing, you know,
Yeah, you
because
get it.
you're gonna give your team the best chance to win. And that's a game that you don't ever want to split a home and home,
No, you don't want to
because when
give
you
it away.
start off a series with home court advantage, you want to win your first two, because now everything is on the Sixers now. Like,
Yes.
the pressure's on them. Like, we can
Yes.
play relaxed. I mean, not too relaxed, obviously.
No,
You want to put them away.
can't play relaxed, but yeah,
Yeah, but
pressure's
you
on
want
you.
to, I'm saying, like, the pressure is not so much on you, though. You know, if you win one, all you got to do is just win one. You
That's
can
it.
win both and sweep, fine with it. But if you win one, you know you did your job. That's
Yeah.
the main thing you got to do. You're going to win every night, but you know that one of those nights, more than likely, is maybe not going to be your night. Because I think Philly, like, as much as I'm on a high end right now, I want to sweep like everybody else. I hope I'm wrong about this.
Right.
But
It's
even if,
unlikely.
I think the Sixers might just at least win one, you
Yeah,
know?
it's unlikely. It's unlikely.
Yeah.
If they lose game three, it's because Embiid pulled one of those give up type of deals. And you know, he's had a reputation for that. You know, I don't know if he's actually been doing that, but he has a reputation for that. That's the only way, because the Knicks have had to give everything they have just to stay in these games. And then they steal him at the, they really stole this one, but they kind of pulled away towards the end of game one. I can't really see that continuing if Embiid is going to be the same Embiid that we saw in here in game two. So you got to assume they're going to at least win one of those games in Philadelphia. If you're going to be objective about it. So what do you think the answers are for the Knicks and Embiid? Like, how are they going to stop that whole pick and roll dribble handoff thing with Maxey, where they seem to have such a hard time with it?
I think, man, yeah, we got to do a better job on our pick and rolls, man. Sometimes we get, and the Sixers are the type of team, man, that they'll punish you on those switches, man. So I
Yeah.
think sometimes our P&R defense, we need to, that's something that they need to work on practice, because they were going to pretty much the same move towards the end, and we kept falling for the same okey doke. And for the sake of God, man, like, I hate when especially like Ihart played a great game, especially in that second half. But that one possession where he gave kind of like the six of the momentum, when he was playing great defense on Joel Embiid. Dude, all you got to do is go stationary. He's not right. going anywhere.
Stop hitting,
the shot, yeah. He would have missed it. That shot was not in rhythm. He was all out of whack. You were guarding him heavily. You did it right until that last second when you tried to get that little last nudge. Yeah. Didn't have to do that, man. Just go straight up.
Yep.
And what, another thing is, man, I would attack Embiid and make him beat you off the dribble.
They gotta
make him put
the
ball for him because he has no, like, if you see Embiid, like, every time the dude makes a move, I feel like he's going to fall down and not get back up because as great as a player as he is, and I'm not going to sit here lying. I'm a biggest Joel. I think he's a foul merchant. I don't like his style of play, especially in the playoffs. I'm not a big Joel Embiid guy.
But he has everything you're saying is right. He just has the skill to go with it.
Yeah, I'm in the minority, but I know I make sense to people that understand.
Yeah.
You know? But I think Joel Embiid, man, I don't know what Nick Nurse is doing, but you're really running a risk of losing him. Longer than that, you keep running him out there trying to get a realizing because, like, he's not there, man.
The way he played in this game, after limping around in game one, I was like, are you really hurt, man? Because he came out better in game two with one game rest than he looked in game one. If he can play like game two throughout the series, he's perfectly fine. I don't want to hear about the injury. I don't want to see you limping around. All that nonsense is starting to look like it's dramatic, you know, because you're still out there doing more and more every game. You know, and if you're getting any version close to what Embiid had today, because he played the whole fourth quarter. And I said something on Twitter. I was like, if he plays the whole fourth quarter, like, the Knicks have no excuse if they lose this game. There's no reason Embiid should be playing the whole fourth quarter to actually survive and actually be able to get up and down the court. There's just no way that should be the case. But he played that whole fourth quarter. I don't know if he just threw all the eggs in one basket, Nick Nurse, and was like, hey, we got to win this game. And if they don't win this game, the series is all. I don't know. But game three comes up. If this dude looks anything like game two, I don't want to hear nothing about that knee injury no more.
Yeah, man, that's a great point, man. I never really opened my mind or looked at it that way. But I understand the level and the feel you're trying to get on, which you said. I agree with that.
Listen, I don't want to keep you up all night. Listen, I can't tell you how excited I was in this game. I'm bouncing off the walls. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. That's no
question. I was doing the same thing, bro. My girl woke up and she was mad at me because she fell asleep.
Oh,
I was turning on the floor, screaming. She was
That's on her, man. She had to wake her up and let her know what was going on.
Nah, because I was quiet the whole time. And I said, nah, I can't hold that in. When Dante hit that three, man, and put us up by one, I'm like, I'm really watching this, man, because, like,
you know what?
Yo,
90s Knicks fans, we don't see that too many times. We have a couple, but when the Knicks get down a couple minutes to go, it's like, I don't know if they're going to pull this out. You always have that, those memories of feeling like, I don't know if we're going to make that big shot. Boy, seeing the team.
But we've been on that other side of the end, man, a lot.
Yes. But you know what? The one thing about Dante's shot, Brunson's shot. This guy couldn't hit anything all night, and they ran
and
that play for him in
the
opposite
corner. That thing just bounced right, the side. It bounced, and then it would bounce right in. That was the luck. Yo, man. Yo, basketball is the reason why, Andre, man, like, just me overall, I love the game. Like, I like watching, like, not just Knicks. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, obviously, but I'm just a real fan because I played it in high school. I played it since I was, like, not 8 years old. Like, it took me off the streets. It took me away from a lot of, you know, from gangs and stuff like that. So, like, I got to love a game for the basketball. You know what I'm saying? So, seeing what happened at that last sequence that turned that game around, man, I'm like, damn, this team is full of dogs, man. Like, they literally never gave up. Like, I ain't going to front, man, when I gave up, man, towards the end, man, because I was like, damn, it's going to look too good.
Listen, I just saw somebody's tweet. They were talking about the offseason and the series was over. That's how crazy they went.
Nah, that's far-fetched.
It's way far-fetched. But that's so many of the Knicks fans. And before I let you go, that's one thing that I was on when we were looking for that 2 seed. Because I knew Knicks fans were going to underestimate the 76ers. And then if they lost, they were going to tear the Knicks down. They were going to tear the whole season down like it was a failure. Because that's how a lot of these Knicks fans are. And
yeah, that's I don't engage with people like that, man, no more. I used to go like I minimize my interactions with people like that because it serves no purpose, man. It's like kind of like, you know, some people actually root for the team to fail just to say that they were right.
Yes.
Like, it's crazy. Oh, well, no question. It's just a weird way of fanning.
No
it's
question.
Not my cup of tea, man.
Between that and just being a fan of certain players and not a fan of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fan of certain players, but not the team. It's like you're just rooting for that guy and the team F the team. It's
nah,
but you know what?
Too many components, bro.
At the end of the day, this is a fun team to root for. I'm exactly. so happy that these guys, Dante, Josh, Jalen, Hardenstein, I just want them to keep playing. I want them to maximize their skill set. They have a chance to win this series. They had a chance to win Miami last year, too, I believe, until the very end. But I felt like this team has just a little bit more faith, a little bit more chutzpah, and maybe they can pull this out, man. So I can't wait to have you on the show again. Thanks for coming on.
Yo, Andre, anytime, man. You let me know in advance, man, and I'll hop on, man. I love talking Knicks, man.
All right. Can't wait for the next video.
Who's when is
the
this
next tribute going to be to?
Oh, it's going to be the Ronnie Cicely. And I got a Glenn Robinson. I took a little layoff for a month because I had some things I had to handle behind closed doors. And I handled it. And now I'm kind of getting my feet back up. So now, man, I'm ready to do that content, man. I just got to edit the video. I already recorded it.
All right, man. Gold School Retro NBA. NBA.
And you follow me at AriHoops84 on YouTube, on Spotify, Gold School Retro NBA, and on Twitter. I still call it Twitter. It's the X app, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Ari Hoops, A-R-I, capital A, lowercase R-I, capital H, lowercase O-O-P-S, 84. Ari Hoops 84, man. Thank you for having me on, Dre, man.
Yeah, yes, sir, man. Appreciate you.
Any time, bro.
The heart, back to Brunson. Brunson double teams, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked it by DiVincenzo. 8-24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Oh, Maxi loose. And Maxi gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Up top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein, a rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo, a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead. 8 seconds remaining.
Down by five. Brunson still with the dribble. Stops in the dotted circle. Little pitch and catch with Hart. Now Brunson, left side of the arc. Tries to split the defense. Lowry knocks it away. Loose ball picked up by DiVincenzo. Circling at the top of the arc. Into the corner. Brunson, pump fake. Three-pointer. Left side, front rim. Gets the roll. Three-pointer is good. It's a two-point game. Knicks down two with 27 seconds to go. Inbound is knocked away by Maxi. Gets the ball back, falls to the floor, stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hart signed the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo again. Wow! Knicks lead, 13 seconds to go. Timeout, Philadelphia.
This is unreal. You talk about a team that refuses to quit and has been staying since the last dozen games of the regular season. As loud and proudly as anyone who will listen, we will find a way. Jalen Brunson has had a flat-out terrible basketball game, but knocked down a three to make it a one-possession ball game. The scramble, the rebound, and Dante DiVincenzo, who set a new Knick high in three-pointers made, has one more in this postseason. Oh my God.
I just can't get enough. I can't get enough. I got to be honest with you. Ah, man. I wish my tech skills were up to par so the audio quality would be a little bit better, man. But Jesus Christ. God bless. I'm sorry. I take the Lord's name in vain. But if there was ever a time to do it, we got some awesome stuff. My man Ari came on and gave us some good Nick talk after this good Nick victory, baby. Ari was the second guest on the show. I can't wait to have him on again. I'm getting better every day. I'll be better next interview. Hopefully the tech will be a little bit better. The sound quality will be a little bit better. But so happy to have him on and his insights into the Knicks. I know he follows the team closely. I did want to clarify one thing I did say while I was talking to him. I'm not accusing Embiid of faking the injury. Clearly he had surgery. Clearly he rushed himself back. I just think he's like being dramatic about it. Like he's selling it. You understand? He's selling it. When you see a guy, you know, like last game, he laid on the ground for 20 minutes and went to the back and came out and had excellent second half. Now, if you look at the numbers, like he did have a rebound in the second half of the game. But the fact is, you can't convince me. I know he's like Ari said, he's a foul merchant and it's hard to stay in front of him because of it. But you can't convince me that the Knicks, who have been one of the better defensive teams all year and have two of the better defensive centers in the league, can't do anything with him. And he's hurt. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. They've played Embiid before. You know the Knicks whooped the 76ers' butt in Philly with Embiid on the court. Back, I think it was in January. Okay? You can't tell me they can't figure out how to do anything with Embiid and then tell me he's 20% of himself. He was 100% healthy when they played him before. All right? It's just, I think if you watch Embiid in his history in the playoffs, there's been a lot of playoff games where he looked just like that and was not hurt. That's all I'm saying. Some of this is just how Embiid looks. Whether it's because he's out of shape or whatever it is, he has looked like that in playoff games where he did not have a knee injury that he rushed himself back from. So if Nurse is going to play him the entire fourth quarter, virtually the entire fourth quarter, and give him all of these minutes and give him all of these shots and give him all these responsibilities, and then after the game you want me to believe that he can't see out of one eye and he can't walk without a pronounced limp. Like, I don't want to hear it. I want to see him go out there and shoot like Jalen Brunson if that's the case. Because he's shooting jump shots for the most part and getting fouled when he goes to the rim. So tell me he's 8-for-27 and tell me his knee is broken. Don't tell me he's going to have these games he's having. And the series that Maxey is having is because of the way they can't cover and beat. They can't cover Embiid, so they can't cover Maxey. Not to take credit away from Maxey, but there's a reason why Maxey's playing like that. It's not just because he's lighting the Knicks up. It's because the Knicks can't guard Embiid, so they can't leave him from the perimeter. They can't come running at him and have him attack the closeout, even though maybe they should be, because he's getting fouled every time he goes to the rim. It's because of Embiid that Maxey's getting so much daylight. That's all I'm saying. Some news after this game, Nick Nurse and the Philadelphia 76ers plan on filing a grievance of some sort. They claim that they called timeout when Maxey was on the floor. They're actually filing a grievance over the last two games because they felt like they've been cheated over the last two games. All right, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Yeah, Nick Nurse is saying he called timeout when Maxey was on the floor. If you look at the replay, as I saw someone put on Twitter, he fake timed out the referee on the inbound. So he put his hands together real quick and then took them away. And then Maxey starts fumbling and stumbling with the ball. And right when Maxey fell on the ground and he had the ball in his hands and he tried to pass it, and that's when Josh Hart reached down and took it. That's when Nurse tried to call timeout. That's way too quick for a referee. You have to be lucky for a referee to give you a timeout call in that split second. It's just not going to happen. So, as we know, these grievances, they go nowhere. The only time you're going to get a positive outcome on a grievance is if there was some misapplication of the rules of some sort. The referee, just because you put your hands together and call a timeout, in like 0.2 seconds, the referees are under no obligation to give you a timeout in 0.3 seconds that you had possession and possession was taken away from you. Sometimes guys get that call, a referee staring you in the face when you put your hands together and you're screaming out, but a lot of times you're not. That's just the way it is. But I don't care anyway. I don't care. I spent too much time on it already. What an awesome awesome win. I can honestly say I've never seen anything like it. And I mentioned it to Ari. This is LJ 4-point play territory. It's just that 4-point play damn near sent us to the finals. So we can't put it up there, man. But if you've been watching Knicks a long time, and I know some of these fans you've been watching for the last 20 years where you haven't had anything to cheer about. But for the fans that rooted for the Knicks in the 90s, we had so many close games, so many moments. They had so much success. The Knicks were the third winningest team in the 90s. They just never won a chip. The second winningest team was Utah. They never won a chip either. The Bulls stood in the way of both of those teams. But down the stretch of the games, you just never felt confident. The Knicks were losing. You just never felt confident. That's why some of those big plays from Patrick Ewing when he went to the – when they beat the Pacers going in 1994 and went to the finals is a big putback from Ewing, I believe, in that Pacers series. A lot of Knicks fans around that time really put a lot of pressure on Patrick to make every big shot down the stretch. And, you know, scoring in the paint back in those days was really a feat. I don't think people today really understand what it was like to have to score in the paint in the 90s where the entire team is in the paint. Now everybody's standing at the three-point line. That's why Maxey keeps getting layups, and that's why Embiid keeps getting open shots. But, and that's why Brunson can't get one because Embiid is just standing in front of the rim all the time. But to make these plays down the stretches, like, this team refuses to lose, man. A friend of mine asked me about Dante and whether or not Dante can be effective without volume shooting. And it was a really good question. But the one thing I said to him was, but Dante got cojones. He got cojones. That's a guy who played big in a championship game and nobody expected it from him. He's not scared. And none of these guys are scared. They're champions. And I never in my life have I appreciated what it is to have or what it's like to have champions on your team. Patrick was a champion here with the Knicks, but we weren't surrounded by champions. We were surrounded by guys who had guts and fight and grit and grind, but they never actually did it. Not as far as I know. I got to be honest, and there might have been some champions floating around in that roster. Maybe Oakley won a championship. I don't think so. But none of those guys won championships in college. And if we did, it was just like one guy here, one guy there. It wasn't. We got guys who were playing 35, 40 minutes who were champions in college. Not once, but twice when it comes to Brunson. And I think Dante got that second one too. You know, these guys, they don't give up. They don't believe that they're going to lose. That first half from Josh Hart is going to be forgotten. People are just not going to talk about that first half anymore because of how that game ended. Josh Hart was a hero in that first half. You understand what he did? As much as that man was maligned for his shooting to go 4-for-5 in the first half of that game, that pull-up three before the half, to go 2-for-1, jeez. Listen, you want to talk about guts and heart? My God. Carried the team, and it's completely forgotten because of the way the team ended. But don't forget it. Don't forget what that man did because he had to pick Jalen up. And we talked about it with Ari. Jalen's struggling, and it's not a surprise to me. What is a surprise to me is that they're in his head now. And that's, to me, that's the scary part. Because I knew they would play him well. I didn't know they were going to play him this well. And he got better shots this game, I thought. And he just missed them. They're in his head now. And that's what scares me. And that's something that we're going to talk about going forward, going into game 3. But these guys, they saw, hey, Jalen carried them all year. They see Jalen struggling. They said, we got you. We got you. And they found ways. Bogdanovich, that's another guy who's going to be forgotten. His contribution is going to be forgotten. Those were big plays when it happened. You know, the game was so tight. Big plays at the end of the third, early fourth. I think it was like 8-9 minutes in the game when Bogey hit that second three. It just felt like every play, it needed to happen. They needed every ounce of it. But Brunson wasn't real. He was not a literal negative on the floor, which is funny. Because I checked the plus minus. He's not a literal negative on the floor. He wasn't actually a negative. But you could not have convinced me of that in the middle of that game. If I If you asked me without looking, I would have said, yeah, 100%. Jalen Brunson was a negative on the court, but he wasn't. He wasn't. He was a plus three. The only negative was, ironically, Deuce McBride. You know, who didn't. He gave you some huge plays down the stretch. He didn't hit all the threes that you expected him to hit, but he made huge plays down the stretch. But it is quite ironic that he's the only player who played to a negative in this game. It was a negative eight, which is huge considering that he had huge plays in the fourth quarter, and he was the only player in this game that was in the negative, and he was a negative eight. Not a negative one, not a negative two, a negative eight. Everybody else was in the positive by 1 to 3 points for the most part. Yep, Dante was in a positive by 11, which, again, talk about bounce back. You want to talk about bounce back? Let's go back to Saturday's game, because I'm pretty sure on Saturday, Dante was like a negative 20-something. Let me look. Yeah, Dante was a negative 23 on Saturday, and now he's the guy who was the most positive in the game, a plus 11. You know, but Deuce McBride had huge play. I mean, he had missed an open layup, but then made up for it by making huge plays. This team just is playing with so much gut, so much gut and grime and grit. You can't get enough of it. You can't get enough of it. I'm so glad there's so many days in between game two and game three. I'm so glad. Because I'm going to watch this game over and over and over again. Because God forbid they lose the series, it's all going to be lost. You got to live in the moment. And living in the moment right now means watching this game every moment between now and game three. Now you see Embiid guaranteeing they're going to win the series and we're the better team and blah, 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 blah. You know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. Because the Knicks can't stop whatever the action is, whatever they're doing, pick and roll, dribble handoff, they can't stop it. And I don't know exactly what they need to do. We'll talk about it over the next few days. I don't know. And you know what? I'm saying it over and over again, man. Stop making this guy some kind of conquering hero with his knee. Listen, not even Knicks fans. Talked incessantly about Randall's ankle last year. They just criticized him when he wasn't playing well. Nobody gave him bail. Nobody's going to talk about every time Jalen Brunson falls on the floor, he grimaces and holds his knee. Okay, nobody's going to talk about that. And I'm not going to say that's why he's struggling. I'm not, because I don't think that is why he's struggling. He's struggling because the defense that they're playing on him is awesome. And the Knicks are going to have to find a way to get him. Now, he got better looks in this game, but they got to find a way to get him into a rhythm. They got to find a way to get him his shots that he's used to, because they're really, really giving him a hard time. And you hoped in game one that you saw the worst of it. And then in game two, you saw the exact same thing. You know, I think he's 15 or 54. I don't think I've ever seen that before in my life. You know, that's just putrid. Now, we talk about Randall. We're not going to conflate the two, because Randall did that over several playoff games. And he may not have taken that many shots, by the way, if we're going to be honest. But Randall struggled over several playoff games. And we saw Jalen carry this team last year in the playoffs, and especially against Miami. So we're not going to do that to him just yet. But they are winning in spite of him right now, seemingly. And you're just waiting for him to figure it out. You're just waiting. And maybe this layoff between game two and game three is going to be a benefit to him. With, you know, we keep focusing on B, but maybe it's going to be about him. And as good as Maxey has been in this series, you understand that he's been this good because of Embiid. And I'm not going to take credit away from him totally, but the reason why he is so unguardable is because they have to pay so much attention to Embiid. And the Knicks really have to figure something out. And as much as the Knicks, as much as we talk about the pick and roll coverage, you know, they're only scoring about 100 points a game. right? So at the end of the day, the Knicks defense is not terrible. But when your offense is scoring and not scoring and having so much trouble scoring, then every possession means so much. And you just don't feel like you can stop them on a consistent enough basis. And, you know, we sit here and we give the players all the credit in the world, and they deserve all the credit in the world, don't get me wrong. But on a day where the Coach of the Year finalists come out and Tibbs is not amongst them, and then they decide to release this poll for the second year in a row with players saying that they don't want to play for Tibbs, man, it is awfully ironic that a team that is seemingly outplayed and their best players being shut down on top of their second best player being out for 4 or 5 months, that this team is now up 2-0 in the series, where most people believe the 76ers are a better team than the Knicks are. And the Knicks are just going to beat them because their best player is injured. And they're playing great. Like, their best players are playing great. Yet, the Knicks are still up. And you're going to give the Knicks players all the credit in the world, but don't think for a second the coach doesn't deserve some credit, because you see that there are some things that the Knicks are having trouble with. The fact that they're still able to win, it means something. And y'all keep talking about, y'all want to talk about Coach of the Year, and you want to say that Dagnall is the best coach, did the best coaching job this year, and Finch did the best coaching job this year, and Mobley did the best, Mosley did the best coaching job this year. I don't know who has had to deal with as much as Tibbs has and who did more with it. I don't know who. And you got to give Tibbs credit for where this Knicks team is right now in this series. And I know this series is far from over. I don't want to hear about any percentages, 80% when you're up 2-0, nothing. I know how tenuous this position is the Knicks are in, and how this series can turn at the drop of a dime. You know? But kudos to this Garden crowd, because the players are giving you credit for helping them, you know, pull these games out. And I've been hard on the Knicks crowd, and I've been hard on Knicks fans. Listen, the players are giving you credit for helping them pull these games out. So kudos to you. But please understand something. This team got to go on the road now. And this has been a good road team, and they've made big road plays all year long. But it's going to be very, very difficult for them to muster this magic 2 games on the road. Okay? All the pressure's on Philadelphia. But Philadelphia knows they can almost get any shot they want every possession based on how the Knicks are defending them. And I just don't know what tricks Tibbs is going to have at this point, because up his sleeve, I should say, at this point, because he would have pulled it out already. I thought they should have done something different on one of the last half court possessions Philadelphia had. I wanted to put OG on Embiid and Hart on Maxey and just switch all of their actions, and then that way they'd have to settle if they had time and the composure. They'd have to settle for Embiid posting and driving to the basket from the top of the circle or the free throw line on OG, which if you put the ball on the floor, it might be a little tricky for him. And then you help off of Tobias Harris. You make Tobias Harris win the game for you there, because, you know, he's a little shaky in general. He had a good game, but he's a little shaky in general. You make him win the game for you there. I don't leave Kyle Lowry open. I don't leave Batum open, or Oubre, or whoever was in the game. I leave Tobias open, and I just attack. I just close out on him. That's what I was wanting to do, but it worked out anyway. But I don't know what they're going to do going forward to stop that action. But I don't know if they need to change. I mean, sometimes we look at this Knicks team and you see them struggling to stop something. And I said this a couple of minutes ago. You see them struggling to stop something, and you're like, there's no way they can beat this team because they can't stop this action. But you look up and the shooting percentages aren't that great, and they're not putting that many points on the board. The issue comes down to the Knicks offense, and that's like, that brings us full circle on this show, because you know I started the season off talking about the real issue is the Knicks offense, not their defense. This is before the OG trade, and then that completely got turned on its head. The offense was fine, and the defense started struggling. You know, but if the Knicks scored consistently, you would not have the same issues with their defense. Remember, the Knicks had like a 6 to 8 point lead midway through that fourth quarter, and then Brunson came back in the game and they promptly lost the lead, right? Because they could not score consistently, right? So whatever they were doing defensively, it was working just enough for the Knicks to win the game if they could score consistently. So if the Knicks can find a way to score efficiently, then they can win this series playing the defense that they're playing, playing the defensive strategies that they're playing. You got to give up something just enough to keep you in the game. You're not going to shut them down completely, but slow them down, reduce their efficiency just enough to allow you to win the game. And if the Knicks are scoring consistently, which they're not, in this game they shot 39% from the field, and the 76ers shot 44% from the field. You live with 44%. You live with 44%. So we're going to sit here and talk about their defense ad nauseum. Everybody is for the next few days. But you live with 44% from the field. What you can't live with is 39% from the field for your own team. So if the Knicks shot 44% from the field, this game would have been wrapped up with a minute, 2 minutes to go. You look at the three-point shooting, the Knicks probably can't maintain this rate, but they shot 45% from the field, and the Sixers shot 34%. So like I said, the Knicks, they do need to make some adjustments. They do need to switch things up, make these guys a little bit more uncomfortable, get them out of their spot, get them off their spots. Need to make MB put the ball on the floor just a little bit more than they've been doing. I understand that it's difficult because you can't put your hands anywhere near them, you know, but you just got to make him put that first dribble down and you know, just move your feet after that. Just don't get beat on that first step, but make sure he doesn't get a clean look on that shot. Keep that hand up. Keep your hand up the whole time. Make sure he doesn't get a clean look on that shot. Make him put that ball on the floor. And once he does, you know, you just take your chances. You know, you're going to dig at him. You can't commit too much. He's getting that ball out. You know, the Knicks, you saw Carmelo, if you watch the MSG broadcast, you saw Carmelo talking about the Knicks helping off the strong side corner too much. And Nick Nurse and the 76ers are making the Knicks do that because that's what they're doing all of the time. They're attacking the strong side corner, and only help could come from that corner defender, that low man. So they have to help from that side. Well, in theory. So the Knicks got to find a way to not do that and to get to the front of the rim and help from the weak side and make them have to make that weak side corner pass instead of the strong side corner pass. They got to find a way to make them do that. But again, we're going to make this about the defense, so it comes down to the offense. But the offense is probably not going to get better unless Brunson gets better. So maybe we do need to focus on the defense because they don't have a choice. But let's save that for the next couple of days. Let's bask in the glory that is one of the great wins at Madison Square Garden. Give Dante credit, Deuce credit, Hart credit. Listen, we talked about the Mitch matching Embiid's minutes. You didn't get the same Mitch game, but you got Hartenstein hustling all game long and making big plays all game long, man. It felt like he was a little shook around Embiid when it came to that floater. First game, but not this game. I think Embiid being a little chippy in this game made him just a little bit more aggressive. Goodness gracious, man, give Hartenstein credit. At Sports Ethos on Twitter, at Ethos Knicks, Andre Gallagher, at The Watchers 7. Until next time.